Welcome aboard the Shipshape Podcast, your ultimate destination for marine wisdom and expertise. Our skilled crew, comprised of top boating journalists and experts, is committed to delivering informative and captivating content week after week. We're eager to connect with and learn from our fellow mariners, and we encourage you to share our podcast with your friends. Remember, word of mouth is our lifeblood. And if you enjoy an episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, you're helping us forge a robust community of mariners who can learn, collaborate, and exchange their experiences out on the water.
Today on the Shipshape Podcast, we are speaking with Jonathan Neuer, the co-founder of The Captain Experiences, a revolutionary online platform that has quite literally reeled in the traditional fishing trip booking process and cast it out anew. Born out of a passion for the outdoors and a drive to simplify the adventure booking process, Captain Experiences is making a splash in the outdoor adventure industry. From his roots in the oil and gas finance to his transition to an innovative entrepreneur, Jonathan has a fascinating story to share with us. Your two co-hosts today are Meryl Schrett. I'm a liveaboard on a Toshing Toshiba 36 in Boston, Massachusetts, A&T.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Talavati here. I'm aboard my powerboat in Virginia. And today we've got Jonathan on the show, and we're going to learn a lot about fishing and it making it to the 21st century and getting an app of its own. So welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
So Jonathan, where are you recording this from?
Actually visiting family on Nantucket Island.
Oh, you're right around the corner to me then.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out in the Boston area.
Yep. Yeah. Right around the neighborhood, same neighborhood.
So Jonathan, did you grow up boating? How did you end up here?
Yeah. So the quick story on Captain is that I was working in my hometown of Houston, Texas, in oil and gas finance when the company I was working for sold. And I said, hey guys, we always talk about it. Let's finally book that fishing trip. And they said, great job, Jonathan. You just nominated yourself to book us all a trip. So, you guys know how that goes. But from there, I said, okay, you're on. You know, how hard can it be? Grew up fishing my whole life, knew that booking guides was a mess. And here I was again. So I just Googled it. I Googled Galveston fishing charters, and it was that quintessential founder's moment, that slap in the face where I just said, hey, if you can book an Airbnb or call an Uber, what's wrong with fishing? So drove down to the docks on a whim from there, met with these guides and onboarded our first captains because they said, yeah, we'd love to list on a site that made it easy for us to earn more trips, manage our calendars, that sort of thing. From there, I said, hey, I think we really have something here. Drove the opposite way to Austin, Texas, where we are headquartered, where I normally am. Teamed up with my co-founder, Addison, on the product and technology side. And we launched Captain Experiences in March of 2020. That was a pretty tricky time, you know, with COVID to launch a consumer travel experiences platform in fishing. But, you know, we stuck with it, and we've now booked thousands and thousands of trips, partnered with over 1,200 quality vetted guides. And we're now the largest platform in the U.S. for booking fishing trips.
I believe it. And it's funny, like for stuff like this, like I said, there's that founder's moment. It's funny to believe that it didn't exist when you were trying, right? You're like, what? This isn't around yet?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was pretty shocked. I mean, there were a couple sites, but I didn't think they did a great job. They were kind of outdated. They really didn't have the breadth of supply. They didn't vet their guides. And, you know, they didn't earn my trust. And so from there, I said, hey, there's this needs to exist. And here we are.
Very cool. And what was the boating scene like in Texas?
It's really strong. I mean, the Galveston Bay complex is, you know, just a vibrant boating scene, boating and fishing. You know, you not only have Galveston Island, but you have, you know, Texas City, you know, Kima, LaPorte, and a number of these communities that are really centered around Galveston Bay, boating, fishing, and just having fun on the water. And then, yeah, I mean, the Houston Ship Channel is one of the largest ports in the U.S., and that's a big piece of Houston's economy in terms of oil and gas and everything else.
So take us back, though. Tell us more about this oil and gas, and what did you do for them?
Yeah. So I started my career in oil and gas investment banking in Houston after graduating from the University of Georgia. And yeah, I mean, that was a great experience just learning about the industry. From there, went and worked in-house at an oil and gas production company, again, still in Houston. And yeah, you know, that was a great success. And, you know, we ended up selling the company. And yeah, at that point, you know, I turned to the guys, tried to book a fishing trip, and here we are.
And how did your experience, because it sounds like you weren't an entrepreneur prior to this. So how did your experience in the oil and gas industry prepare you for this brand new entrepreneurial adventure?
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought of myself as an entrepreneur, you know, as a founder prior to Captain, but, you know, I was always interested in entrepreneurship, startups, you know, all of that. But yeah, I mean, really this problem just, you know, like I said, sort of slapped me in the face, you know, fell into my lap. And, you know, I just sort of thought to myself and, you know, talked to mentors and advisors and they said, hey, you'd be stupid not to pursue this. You know, not only is this a passion, but you've come across a problem that, you know, thousands of people, if not millions, you know, also experience. Mm-hmm. And so from there, you know, when opportunity knocks, you know, you kind of have to run with it. So I just said, yeah, let's do it and see what happens.
And now you have an idea, right? You've gone and you realize that, oh, wow, here's a completely open market. And how do you get into technology? You know, what are your first steps? Do you build a team? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, so if I knew nothing about entrepreneurship, I knew even less about technology. Yeah, you know, moved to Austin and, you know, really just sort of zigzagged my way through it, you know, working with contractors and third parties to really try to cobble something together. None of it really got off the ground until I met my co-founder, Addison. So we met through a number of mutual friends in Austin. He was previously working at a staffing marketplace. We connected and he said, hey, you know, I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia, hunting and fishing on the Chesapeake Bay. I'm far more passionate about all that stuff outdoors than I am, you know, staffing. And oh, by the way, you know, I have the marketplace experience and the product experience. So I, you know, think that I could really lend a hand with Captain. And from there, he started moonlighting and really took Captain from a business and technology perspective to a whole new level. From there, I said, hey, you know, what sort of Jedi mind tricks do I need to play on this guy to get him to jump in full time? And at about the same time, you know, he said, hey, let's grab a beer. And he shared that he wanted to come on full time. You know, we talked through things and yeah, you know, we've been partners in crime ever since.
So you start bringing on some team members and obviously there has to be a little bit of market research done. How'd you figure out what the market even looked like?
Yeah, we just looked at, you know, some of the Outdoor Industry Association numbers and reports from other outlets and realized, hey, you know, fishing is massive. Outdoor sports are massive. When we looked, you know, fishing was the second most participated in sport after walking and jogging in the U.S. So that really sort of put things in perspective for us.
So tell us a little bit about the sort of captains you have on there. Is it all like smaller boats or bigger boats, or is it a mix of everything? Parties at 12? Like, what have you found like people end up booking the most?
Yeah, it's a mix of everything. So we have everything from 1 to 2 person shallow water skiff, you know, fly fishing to redfish in the flats or in the Keys, all the way up to 20 or 30 person charters that can take you offshore for tuna, wahoo, things like that.
Very cool. So the big fish are there as well. And again, and just in terms of percentages, like what do people end up going for more? Is it the smaller stuff or do you see the bigger tuna parties?
Yeah, I'd say it's a healthy mix. The standard trip would probably be a 6-hour inshore trip fishing for redfish, speckled trout, things like that down on the Gulf Coast from Texas to Florida. But we do get plenty of those offshore trips chasing tuna on a 12-hour trip or, you know, marlin, sailfish, whatever it may be.
When you came into this side of the market, like the it's almost like a charter fishing expedition. Obviously, there are other players. There's Boat Setter, Get My Boat, but no one had actually gone and made like a fishing only type thing. When you were onboarding some of these businesses, what were their reactions? What pain points had you noticed along the way?
Yeah, a lot of our guides said things like, hey, we're so excited for a dedicated platform that really speaks to our business and what we're doing in fishing. So in terms of availability, a lot of these other sites were a lot more cookie cutter. So they would say, hey, how many guests can you take? How long is your trip? And boom, you know, that's the offering. But in fishing, it's a lot more nuanced than that. The same guide might offer an inshore trip, a nearshore trip, an offshore trip, and have options at 4, 6, and 8 hours for each of those. So Captain Experiences, our platform facilitates that. And then on the adventure side, which is, you know, how we refer to our customers, the fact that we can set it up in that manner leads to a seamless booking experience. So you can select the exact trip that you're looking for, see real-time availability, read verified reviews, and book right there on the spot, as opposed to having to start your search sort of higher in the funnel from there and deselect things like do-it-yourself boat rentals and things like that.
When you were first starting this, right, obviously it's like you got the idea, you start bringing in some people, you start telling about the idea, you do some market research. You know, were you bootstrapping this thing the entire time? You know, at what point did you get investment, right? Like, how did making the business evolve over time? Give us the step-by-steps.
Yeah, our fundraising journey has really been sort of a crawl, walk, run development. So in the earliest days, we were bootstrapped. From there, we raised a small angel round. And then from there, once we generated traction across the Southeast from Texas to Florida, we raised a venture-backed seed round. And then we recently raised another round of venture funding led by a group out of New York called Bullish. And they've invested in a number of amazing consumer businesses in the past.
Very cool. So Jonathan, tell us more about the vetting process for your guides, like at least in the beginning, where you're like individually going to them and making sure that they are legit and they can do what they say they're going to do, and are they insured, and like what were some of the things you were looking for then, and maybe how that's changed now. You know, I bet you're not calling them up one by one by now. What happens?
In the earliest days, it was walking the docks, like I mentioned, and you know, speaking with our guides on a first name basis. And so that really is the backbone of how we relate with our guides. We like to say that we know all of our 1,200 guides on a first name basis. So we still speak with all of our guides before we take their listings live. So yeah, we have a senior guide onboarding manager, David. I joke that he has everyone's dream job, which is to call fishing guides and talk fishing all day. And that's exactly what he does. He calls guides that we find online or that our existing quality guides refer us to. He gives them the pitch. The vast majority of guides that we speak with say, yeah, that sounds great. Sign me up. From there, we work to create their profiles and trip listings within 24 hours, send them back to the guide or the captain. They review, make any changes they'd like, add pictures, that sort of thing, and then send in their license and insurance information. And at that point, we take them live. But to your point, we are getting a lot more guide zero touch signups, as we call them. So existing guides are happy with the platform and they're telling their buddies to sign up with us. And then a lot of guides are also just finding us through our demand side marketing channels.
Could you give us a success story, you know, the perfect match guide through Captain Experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I might say one of our first guides, Captain Lee, if not our very first guide that I signed up walking the docks. I mean, you know, we keep in touch on a regular basis personally. Was just talking to him Friday night, actually. But yeah, you know, he was saying, hey, you know, I'm having a ton of trouble, you know, managing a website and, you know, having to keep up with social media. The list goes on, right? You know, calendar availability, et cetera, et cetera. And so now he's saying, oh my God, you know, Captain has really changed my business. The fact that you guys help me keep my listings updated and, you know, bring me more trips. I get an automatic text message when I get a trip. In just two clicks, I confirm a trip and boom, I'm going fishing with a group. Like, that's amazing. That's a game changer. That gives me more time to re-rig tackle and clean the boat and provide a fantastic experience for my group. So yeah, that's what it's all about to us. And I've been out there with Captain Lee. I know they run a really tight program. So yeah, he's running 48-foot Viking out of Galveston, running 100+ miles offshore to the rigs, the floating rigs out there, catching tuna and cooking it up for sashimi on the boat, on your trip, fully air-conditioned cabin, you know, the whole nine yards.
Very cool. And so this was more the supply side. Can you tell us about the demand side? Like, is it, because I know you vet these guys out and, you know, the reviews and all of that. What about the people going on the adventures? For example, like, do you have people show up? And I remember this used to happen in Boston. At the end of the day, it'd be like, oh, they start negotiating the payment after the fact or something like that. And you're like, dude, we agreed. You know, what happens then?
Yeah, I mean, so the way that we describe the adventure experience is search it, book it, live it. So adventurers can go on the site, captainexperiences.com, search by location, group size, target species, price, read verified reviews, and book real-time availability with quality vetted guides. Then leading up to your trip, we'll email you a QR code, like a mobile boarding pass. So instead of, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. before your 6 a.m. trip, pulling out $1,000 in cash to go pay someone across town on the docks, you just show your guide your QR code. They take a picture of it. Payment transfers automatically and you're all set to go fishing. So it really is a seamless end-to-end experience.
So you're taking the payment on front though, yeah?
Well, for the deposit, okay. Yes. You know, the deposit is paid when the adventure books, but then the remaining balance is charged when that QR code is scanned on the day of the trip.
I come from a charter background at one point in my life. And we held the record for charters in Boston. We had 161 charters in the course of a year. You know, it was around the time that Boat Setter and Get My Boat were becoming popular. So there were a bunch of people that were kind of entering the game, and Boat Setter and Get My Boat really revolutionized how they were doing charters. They went from like 3 charters in a year to 40. So how has Captain Experiences kind of changed the game in terms of giving these guys jobs?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have any specific numbers on that, but what I will say is that our guide retention is incredibly strong. So I think the proof is in the pudding right there. And then on the demand side, our average review score is 4.9 out of 5 stars after thousands of trips. So, you know, I really think that both our adventures and our guides find benefit in the platform and are sticking around for the long haul.
Cool. And a lot of this happened during COVID times. Did demand go up? Like, what was the experience then? How did it affect Captain Experiences?
Yeah. So when we launched in March of 2020, things were completely dead. People were in lockdown in many places in Texas and, in Austin, we were in lockdown. Our captains and our guides in Florida were reporting that the state was shutting down public boat ramps. So, yeah, I think we booked about 4 trips that entire month. And so, you know, things from there steadily increased and ticked up. 2021 and 2022 were really, really good years for us as COVID subsided a bit. People fell in love again with the outdoors and new entrants came in and realized what fun is to be had outdoors. And then, you know, 2023 now we're up significantly on those years. So yeah, in the early days of COVID, it was tricky, but since then definitely been a tailwind.
Ahoy investors. Are you on the lookout for a unique opportunity to invest in a thriving industry? Set your sights on Shipshape, the innovative platform connecting boat and yacht owners with top-notch marine service providers. Our team is committed to revolutionizing the marine repair and refit market in North America. But we can't sail these seas alone. With your support, we can enhance our platform and create a significant impact in the industry. Don't let this exciting investment opportunity drift away. Contact us today to learn more about joining our voyage. Reach out to us at info@shipshape.pro.
As a platform that facilitates meaningful outdoor experiences, how does Captain Experiences promote environmental sustainability or responsible tourism?
Yeah, what I would say is by supporting our guides and their businesses, you know, their office, so to speak, is the outdoors and, you know, the fisheries that they are out there experiencing on a daily basis. So they really are stewards of the resource, and going out with a guide, they'll teach you, you know, everything about that, how to be conscious of fish numbers and conservation. I mean, up here, for example, the striper population, you know, they've now decreased the slot and they've decreased limits, right? So you can keep one striper 28 to 31 inches, I believe it is, a day per angler. And so, you know, maybe if you're going out there yourself, you might not be aware, you might be getting yourself into trouble keeping too many fish, keeping undersized fish, keeping oversized fish, whatever it may be. So not only is that a legal risk for yourself, but you're also hurting the resource, and those limits are there for a reason. And so going out with a guide, they can explain, you know, how they've seen the striper numbers decline year over year, how they're bouncing back, and how these conservation efforts have played a big role in that. And then you take that sort of knowledge home to wherever your home base is. Maybe you're more inclined to catch and release back there. So yeah, I just think our guides really play a big role and have taught me a lot.
Well, that's exceptional, right? You know, the overarching theme across all sectors of marine is lack of awareness. And people are going out on these fishing charters and they're learning about the ocean or just experiencing it and bringing it back. That overall just helps understanding about ocean and conservation that is deeply needed within the industry.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
I want to build on that a little more. So in addition to your guides, like what other partnerships or collaborations might have been integral to you guys growing Captain Experiences the way you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there are a number of partnerships that have been integral to our growth. You know, we've supported IGFA, you know, since day one with giveaways and donations and things like that.
IGFA stands for?
International Game Fish Association.
Okay.
And then CCA, Coastal Conservation Association, actually kind of crazy, but a fun fact is that the largest CCA chapter in the U.S. is actually based in Austin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, we donate trip giveaways and things like that to help them raise money for their conservation efforts. Yeah, I mean, the list goes on, but always trying to do more and learn more about new conservation efforts and nonprofits.
As an entrepreneur and, you know, kind of a niche market, but not really niche because it's one of the biggest sectors of marine, what are the key factors that have contributed to your success?
Yeah, I would just say focus. You know, I think our mission is to unlock the outdoors. And so I really think that on a day-to-day basis, that's what we focus on, really thinking about how can we take that adventure, that bucket lister, as we like to say. So someone who's fishing around the world, trying to catch that new species to check off their bucket list, how do we get them to really feel comfortable pushing the boundaries and going out on a helicopter trip into Alaska's backcountry, fly fishing for rainbow trout? But at the same time, how do we get new entrants into the market and get that adventurer who hasn't really experienced the joy of fishing to really feel comfortable getting out there for the first time? Because a lot of the time, what we hear from adventurers is that it can be intimidating, you know, to call up a guide and ask them, you know, you don't necessarily know the lingo, you don't know what's in season, the list goes on. And so helping adventurers by reducing the barriers to getting outdoors, by unlocking the outdoors, is really what we're all about.
Love it. And it sounds like you have a lot of passion about all of this. Can you share maybe a personal story? Like, what was your favorite time you remember fishing out there? What'd you catch? What was the weather like? What were the people like?
Oh man, I mean, I don't know. There's so many. I mean, yeah, just growing up in Houston, would go out with friends and with my dad, with my brother, you know, just past the backyard, there were some woods and we'd crawl back there, grab whatever was the oldest in the fridge, put it on a hook and catch catfish on the bayou. So that was really fun. You know, we'd go down to Seawall Boulevard in Galveston and sort of wade in there and you know, catch sand trout and whatnot in the surf. I mean, even just last night, you know, up here in Nantucket, we all got out on the boat, did some night fishing in Nantucket Harbor. You know, there were like six of us out there or whatnot. It was pretty choppy. You know, the tide and the wind were kind of throwing us for a loop, but we managed to catch a 14-inch striper, quick catch and release. And yeah, it was all the fun in the world.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things, right, because we have ShipShape, which is the National Directory of Marine Repair, that essentially affords that anytime I need repair on the boat, it's immediate and it's relatively affordable. So I can only imagine that having a platform that connects people to fishing adventures, you've been invited on some crazy fishing trips.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely the case.
And what has been one of the more interesting fishing trips you've been on? What is the most elaborate, crazy fishing trip you've been on?
Yeah, I'd have to say it was our trip. I think it was about 2 years ago to Tanzania, Africa. Yeah, you know, I'd gone on a family safari with Dom Lever in Tanzania, a renowned safari guide, prior to starting Captain. And, you know, always knew that he was an avid fisherman. And he saw the news on Captain and reached out and said, hey, you know, I'm starting to get a fishing program going, just like my safari program. And I would love to list with you guys on Captain, and you've got to come out for a recce, as he would say. So we said, no, you know, we're too busy. We're launching this platform. And he kept nudging us. And finally, we said, hey, what are we doing? You know, we've got to take him up on this. So we spent 2 weeks in Tanzania. The first week we were in Ruaha National Park fishing for tigerfish, these crazy toothy creatures on the Ruaha River. And fishing for them was amazing. They're ferocious. They jump, they fight hard, all that good stuff, everything that you want in a sport fish. So yeah, we spent a week catching them and it was crazy because, you know, we'd catch, you know, all that you could catch in a day. And then we'd just say, hey, let's go on a little safari. We'd throw the rods in the Humvee, turn a corner and boom, there'd be lions on a giraffe kill or greater kudu, you know, stalking in the plains. And that was just amazing. The second week of that trip, we spent half of it offshore catching dogtooth tuna, swordfish, snapper, you know, the list goes on and on and on, all of these amazing species in the Indian Ocean. And then we tied a bow on it by fly fishing for rainbow trout in the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro. So all in all, it was about as incredible a fishing trip as you could ever dream up.
So that's cool. So that's already international. Are you guys international? Do you plan to be? And perhaps where is Captain's Experiences going in the next like 5 years or so?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, our mission to unlock the outdoors you know, we sort of expand upon that and we say that our mission is to unlock the outdoors across all outdoor sports and geographies. So, you know, fishing is a personal passion, but we do plan to expand into other verticals and other geographies. So right now we are predominantly focused on the US, but we do have international trips in Mexico, places like Cabo, Quepos, Costa Rica, some stuff in Africa, like I mentioned, Tanzania. So a few different places there.
And what sort of role does technology play in all of this? Because I know like some of them don't have the ease that you described earlier on QR codes and, you know, prepayments and all of that. Some of them are cash economies, for example. What happens then?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say for the most part, all of our guides have, you know, smartphones. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of our guides, just like our adventurers on the demand side, are used to using sort of sharing economy or marketplace apps like an Uber to book their a ride, Airbnb to book a stay in a far-flung place when they're traveling. So they're really yearning for a marketplace that applies to their specific business, you know, the fishing industry, because they're so accustomed to using marketplaces in other facets of their life.
As you had mentioned earlier, right, you know, before all of this, you had no clue about entrepreneurship. And now you've built up such a platform. You got all these people using your tool. So can you tell us some leadership lessons you've learned along the way?
Oh, man, that's a tricky one.
Too many.
Yeah. I mean, I would just say, you know, just sort of be yourself and be humble. You know, so I joke with our team that I'm the team janitor. You know, I'm just making sure that everyone's set up for success, you know, trying to hire people smarter and more talented than ourselves. And I think we've done a great job of that in the team that we've built. And so from there, it's just saying, hey, what do you need to be successful and making that happen? So yeah, we have a small but mighty team of eight these days. And, you know, everyone sort of punches above their weight, super tight knit group. Yeah, it's just fantastic.
What is the next 5 years for Captain Experiences looking like? What is your goal? What are you planning on doing?
Yeah, definitely expanding geographically. So we want to get more into international destinations, partnering with more lodges and outfitters, and then also expanding into other outdoor sports. So we're launching a bit deeper into hunting this upcoming fall, and that'll be super exciting. And then, yeah, I want to get more into other water sports, mountain sports, winter sports, you name it.
Would it still be called Captain Experiences, or would you like have a brand new brand for it?
Yeah, we think the captain brand, you know, obviously you have, you know, your fishing captain or the captain of a boat, but we also think, you know, it has an adventure connotation that applies to other outdoor sports as well.
Nice. And then, I mean, I know like, especially in COVID times, like so many people just wanted to get out the house just, you know, to stay sane. But how does Captain Experiences, or even some of the other outdoor stuff you were talking about, how does that contribute to like the wider conversation about mental health and well-being? And just because it's so therapeutic going outdoors and being in nature and, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic question that we think about a lot. And we feel very fortunate at Captain to really operate at the intersection of families coming together, friends reconnecting, being in the outdoors, learning about conservation, being out there in nature, throwing your phone in the dry box when you get on board and really having 8 hours to focus on all of that and let your mind wander and let your, you know, imagination run wild about what might be, you know, grabbing onto the other end of that line. It's really super exciting. And then you also throw travel in there and adventure. And yeah, I mean, we really think that what we're doing, unlocking the outdoors, is the solution to a lot of the problems that our 21st century society is facing right now. You know, you look at depression, you know, and anxiety numbers, especially among the younger parts of our society today. And, you know, I think a lot of that can be solved by reconnecting with the outdoors, reconnecting with your roots, being active, being healthy, and spending time with family and friends and making new friends and connecting with a guide.
Love it. So again, so we know you're passionate about this. Okay. If you were to go on a fishing trip with any famous person, it could be alive, it could be dead, who would it be and why?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I think I'd probably have to say Ernest Hemingway, just because we'd
get priceless.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's a legendary fisherman, but obviously a fantastic writer, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Old Man in the Sea, a number of great novels. But he was obviously a character as well. And, you know, I like to have a good time on my fishing trips. I'm sure we'd be, you know, sipping some rum, smoking some cigars and catching giant marlin.
Love it. Do you have like a favorite fishing joke or maybe an anecdote or something?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, you know, one of the ones that, comes up with us on, you know, from a business perspective is you don't leave fish to find fish, right? So, you know, which means in the fishing sense, it's pretty literal. You know, if you're catching fish, you don't want to go and try a new spot, you know? You know, for it's kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? And so for us, it ties back to the piece I touched on in terms of focus. You know, we really go back to our focus and our mission to unlock the outdoors. And hey, if there's something else that someone on the team brings up, or, you know, some external force or whatever it is, maybe it's an investor, you know, whoever it is who says, hey, you guys should definitely do this. Well, if it doesn't tie back to that mission, you know, we're just not going to do it. So, you know, really staying focused is the name of the game. And yeah, not leaving those fish on a hot bite.
When we talk about the entrepreneurship journey, it's really easy to tell a positive story, which is, you know, ultimately kind of a good thing, you know, to keep you moving forward. But what, during this journey, what roadblocks did you run into? You know, what was a difficult moment building this platform out?
I would probably say first and foremost, fundraising. You know, it's pretty tricky to go out and raise your first round of institutional funding. So, you know, throughout that round, we talked to easily over 100 different investors, some very prominent, you know, funds in the scene that have backed amazing companies. And to hear from a lot of them that, hey, you know, your idea, you know, isn't worth it, you know, isn't worth investing in. And, you know, you should probably go and do something else, things like that. You know, that's pretty difficult. But through that process, we did meet a number of fantastic investors who did back the company. So it's really just a numbers game. But, you know, staying positive and, you know, using that, you know, that feedback and sort of turning it into constructive criticism or just letting it light a fire internally is a good way to put a spin on it, I guess.
Love it. I want to bug you a little more about that. Give us, like, because we know lots of entrepreneurs listen to our show. What are like the top three sort of motivational things you might use to sort of push yourself?
What keeps me up at night is thinking about groups who are, you know, at work on a Friday afternoon or something, and they're saying, hey, let's book a fishing trip this weekend. And then the other person says, no, you know, it's too much of a pain. I don't know. I don't want to have to call guides for an hour and read reviews and all that stuff. But now that conversation turns into, hey, we'll just go to captainexperiences.com. You can book a trip in just a few clicks and get out there. And then boom, you know, that group is having the time of their life. They're catching fish. They're exploring the outdoors. And that's pretty special to us. So what keeps us up is those groups that are on the edge of getting out there and they just say, no, there are too many hurdles involved. I'm not going to do it.
And maybe tell us a little, we haven't talked a lot about this, but maybe tell us a little bit more of the technology side. Are you guys, have you made an app? Are you thinking about it? How is that going to evolve?
Yeah, so we've launched an app. It's a progressive web app. So it's not in the app store, but it is guide facing. So it's on the supply side of our marketplace. And that just gives our guides more immediate and deeper access to their calendar, to editing and adding new trips, to their payment info and everything that they need to successfully run trips with us.
Sort of kept it simple that way. Yeah.
Yep.
I like to imagine that you guys must stay on top of the basically what's happening within the fish world itself in a environmental standpoint. How do you keep up with things?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is through our guides and their, you know, firsthand accounts. So for example, if the mahi numbers are down in the Keys and they're catching smaller mahi, you know, we're normally the first to hear about it. You know, striper stuff going on up here in New England, same goes for that. You know, over in San Diego, they've been having some of the best bluefin tuna seasons on record the past 2 or 3 years. You know, that's fantastic. And, you know, that's great to hear. And so, yeah, you know, we ask our guides every week for fishing reports and they send those in pretty thorough detail. So that's a great way for us to keep a finger on the pulse of things.
Yeah. Now, I mean, now there's just going to be more human beings showing up where the good spots are, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fishing reports are great, but, you know, they're not sort of spot burning, you know, reports, right? They're not giving you the coordinates of, you know, the stripers bubbling on the surface, eating top water, but they'll let you know, how the fishing is.
We've done a decent amount of interviews with people that are in marine conservation and NOAA and, you know, the head of the Maritime Commission and all this other type of stuff. And obviously, one of the comments that's been brought up is just the lack of data that exists in terms of kind of the fish and what's happening with the ocean. So I feel like you're in a pretty good spot to just be like the people that have all of this data.
Yeah. And that's part of the vision too, to unlock the outdoors is going deeper into the data that Captain will have access to. So, you know, for example, being able to survey our guides or, you know, have a little report there after every trip where they can say, hey, you know, we caught 2 snapper, we caught 3 lingcod, you know, whatever else it is. And they can just tally that up. And, you know, I think that would be a fantastic resource for the industry.
Cool. So as we're coming to the end, Jonathan, just a couple of questions more for you. One is sort of like, if you'd go fishing with anybody, who would it be? It would be if you could go fishing anywhere in the world, where would you choose? And hopefully what would you catch?
Oh man, that's a tough one. But the number one trip on my bucket list is to fly fish for Golden Dorado in the Amazon in Bolivia in South America. So that's definitely it. I need to work on my cast a little bit, but hopefully one day we'll be there.
And just so our listeners know, fly fishing is the one where you go back and forth and the line just gets longer and longer and longer. Is that one?
Exactly.
Yeah, that looks really cool. It looks, I don't know, like art at some level.
Exactly. Right?
On a kind of a deeper level, what do you think the current state of the fishing industry is in right now?
I think it's in a bit of a transitioning state. You know, I think that people are beginning to become more knowledgeable about conservation, and conservation is really at the top of mind for everyone, which I think is a positive. You know, learning how we can sustainably recreate in this resource, you know, for generations to come is pretty amazing. And then it's also really exciting to see sort of the, you know, the coming together of like new and old, you know. So for example, there's a ton of great fishing content on YouTube, you know, from everything about these awesome destination trips, you know, to the Great Barrier Reef fishing for black marlin, to how to tie a simple knot for braid to leader. You know, everything in between is on there. And so I just think that's a really cool way that, you know, the old is blending with new.
Love it. And so on our way out then, maybe, you know, given your love for the outdoors, what are like the top 3 must-have items for any fishing trip apart from, you know, your standard fishing stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just go rod, reel, and a beer.
I was going to bring up beer. Awesome, Jonathan. So where can people find you and read more about what you're doing and book a trip with you?
Yes. So they can go to captainexperiences.com. They can give us a ring at 833-CAPTAIN. Follow us on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever else is out there. And yeah, we hope to get everybody else out on the water soon.
It was great to talk to you, Jonathan, and hear all these stories.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode. And be sure to like, share, and subscribe to ShipShape.pro.